go ahead and get it going, Overflow. How y'all feeling this morning? Are we awake? Okay, that intro kind of reminded me of our Driven series. It makes me get like amped up. I feel like I'm like pre-gaming. You know, like, I don't know if any of you ever played sports, but you know, in the high school locker room, you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the way that makes me feel. And then you add the mask to it. I feel like a lion in a cage. And then you take off the mask and I'm just like, let's go. So I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited to be with you guys. Thanks for joining us in person. And welcome to everybody watching online. If you're new here, my name's Corey. I'm one of the pastors that gets to serve and lead at this phenomenal church called Overflow. I'm just happy to be here today. And I don't know what all the fuss is about. The weather in Michigan's great. Like, this is, I don't know why y'all always complaining in the winter. This has been awesome, right? No, seriously, somebody was like, I guess you brought the warm weather with you. You're welcome. Okay, guys, you're welcome. But as you just saw, we are kicking off a series called Under Construction. The tagline of that series is building the church as we build the church. And so we're building the church, aka capital C, Kingdom Church. In other words, working on our daily lives. We're all under construction, right? Like, none of us have arrived. We all have an area of our lives that we want to see God build up and get better and better. So we're going to be talking about that through this series. But also, while we're talking about it, we're going to be doing some construction around the house, around the church. Literally next Sunday, as you heard at the beginning of the message, is demo day. Everybody say demo day on the count of three. One, two, three.
Demo day.
Nice. This service always has a little bit more energy. I don't know if it's just later in the day or what. But yeah, next Sunday's demo day. So y'all looking nice today. Everybody looks, y'all looking great. But next Sunday, don't come in your church clothes. Come in your work clothes, all right? Come and get ready to work. Everybody, there's something you can do literally right after the service. We're going to have lunch provided. We're going to be tearing out this stage, literally demolishing this stage. Some of you are like, whoa. We're going to be like, we need people to just stack chairs. We're going to be like ripping out some of the pallet wood. But here's basically what we're doing. Some plans that the church had from years ago, we're going to be able to take that step. We're just going to be like centering our stage. We're going to be putting in some new floors in the weeks to come. Hey, can I get an amen? Right? Like, I mean, I love me some tiled gym floors, but you know, we ain't even got goals anymore. This is just like it's a tease. I just want to shoot a three and there ain't no goals. But anyways, so we're just doing some small things, just floors and paint and all this. But next week is going to be your opportunity, our chance to be involved in it. And here's what I love about stuff like this. You could think of it as like, oh, I'm going to help the church out. Can I just be abundantly clear? We don't need your help. The church doesn't need my help. The church doesn't need, I was talking to our staff. I'll just let you guys know, this sounds like semantics, but it's actually what I really believe. I have told our team and staff, never ask for help, because we don't need anyone's help, but rather you have an opportunity to be a part of changing people's lives and eternities forever. Everything you do that is a part of Overflow Church is actually investing in the kingdom of God and laying away treasures in heaven. So we don't need your help. You actually have an opportunity. And think about it this way. Think about it. Imagine taking out the stage and then you're a part of the team that's putting down these floors. And what if it's not just sticking a floor to some tile? What if while you stick it down, you pray over it? God, I pray that every foot that steps on this piece would know that you love them. God, I pray that every tear that shed on this piece of floor, that it would be redeemed in you. God, what if we built a stage like that? When we build our new stage, it's not just nailing some wood, but we're actually praying. God, may this not just elevate people, but elevate your word into people's hearts. God, may you for years to come change the trajectory of people's souls because of these floors, because of this paint. But like, there's something that happens when we see things not as, I'm doing the church a favor, but rather I get to be a part of changing lives. So that's what we're doing next Sunday. Y'all ready for demo day? No. Oh. If you're watching online, roaring applause. Like, it was like a stadium full, just, people were like ripping their shirt. No, I'm just kidding. So excited. So that's next Sunday. And don't worry, if you can't stay, you'll only slightly be judged. So come through. We'd love to see you. Like I said, if anything, just come and eat, hang out, encourage people. We're going to be safe, going to be socially distant. And if you have some tools, if you have some ladders, if you have a hammer, whatever you got, let us know. Email us this week. Chad and Joel are going to be heading up that project. And like I said, it's going to be fun. And it's all this under construction. We're all revving up to April 4th. Does anybody know what April 4th is? Hey, Semana Santa, Pascua. Yeah, Easter. And that is like the Super Bowl for Christianity, right? The two big Sundays are Easter and Christmas Eve. And that's when we see the Christians, the Christmas Easter Christians, the people that only show up for church on Christmas and Easter. But it's okay. We're going to leverage that. We want those people to come and check out Overflow, how amazing it is. That's going to be our big reveal day for our new auditorium. So it's going to be kind of fun if you know some people want to check it out. And before that, we're actually going to do a communion service on Good Friday. So that's going to be a special Friday night service for us in here. We're going to take communion together as a church family. So a lot of stuff coming up. And the last thing I'll say before we jump into God's word here is for the next 4 weeks leading up to April 4th, I got to make sure I find it. Yeah. We have invite cards for you that say, get up. That's the title of my message on Easter, get up Easter. It makes me think of like, was it James Brown that sang get up? Like, get on up, right? That's what it makes me think of. Don't worry. Maybe I'll ask Joelle to play that song on Easter. That'd be kind of funny. I could imagine Joelle like doing a little James Brown up here. But get up is our theme at Easter. And here's what I'm saying this. On your way out for the next 3 weeks, these cards are going to be in the lobby. You are not fully clothed this entire month unless you have one of these on you. Y'all hear me? Some of you are like, what is he talking about? When you walk out of your house on Monday morning, on Thursday morning to go to work, make sure you have some invite cards on you. And when you go to your coworker, hey, where are you going to be for Easter, whatever, just invite all week. I mean, just fling them out there. Just invite people and watch what God does with just a little sheet of paper when it comes to somebody's heart and the truth of Jesus. And so this whole week, remember, if your parents start to walk out the door, go, hey, do you have your invite cards? And they're going to be like, what? And be like, you're not dressed. Get your invite cards, get them, invite them, and do whatever it takes to get people here for Easter. It's going to be a great time. And when I say whatever it takes, I mean like invite them to lunch, put them in their burger, you know, and they bite into it and like, ah, what's this? It's like, ha, you're invited to Easter, right? Like just whatever it takes, socially distant, be safe, like throw it at them, whatever you got to do. So over the next 3 weeks, under construction, building up, a lot of good stuff leading towards Easter. But today's our first Sunday in this series. And so we're going to be talking foundations. Because how many of you know, if you're really under construction, if you're really building something up, you and I, we need a firm foundation. So this is Foundation Sunday. So if you have a Bible, open it up. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter what? Seven. Nicely done. Good job. The seven of you. The rest of you, I know you wanted to say it. And as you turn there, as I've been studying this passage and get ready for the series, I was reminded of the first time I ever tried to buy a home. It's actually been fun. This last few months, I've actually kind of been like house hunting here. Kathy, if y'all know Kathy, she's kind of been my real estate agent, helped me out. Just looking, because you never know how long an interim season's going to last. So I figured like, why not look? So y'all pray if I'm supposed to. Oh, that was really sweet. She was like, yay, thank you. The rest of you, you're like, But yeah, so it just kind of been looking, and it reminded me the first time I ever bought a house was like in my mid-20s down in Fort Lauderdale in South Florida. And if you know anything about South Florida, that's like house hunting in New York, like big city prices. And so I was in my mid-20s, I had like not a lot of money, so that meant either I was going to get like a fixer-upper, you know, like a really bad home, like but maybe with a little space, or a closet, like a new closet. Those were my two options in house hunting. Some of you know what that's like. And I'll never forget, we found this little two-bedroom. It was like a home built in like 1904 or whatever. But I was so excited because it was like two bedrooms. Like that was like a mansion for me in my 20s. I was like, two bedrooms? I could have like a bed in it. Oh my gosh. And so like I was so excited. I went in and looked at this home. And man, you know when you're just excited about something, you don't see any of the flaws. Some of you don't know what that's like when it comes to a house, but you know what it's like when it comes to a spouse. You know, when you like you meet the girl and you're like, oh my God, she's perfect. And then like everyone around you like, no, she's not. Or he, whatever. But like, so I had like, I don't know what you would call that, like the lust phase in a home. And I'm just like, ah, this is great. Like, and I'm looking at everything and the realtor's like, hey, there's cracks on the paint. And I was like, we can paint over it, right? You know, and then if you're going to buy a house, you should do what's called an inspection. Right? Like that's in the U.S. if you're watching around the world, like we do inspections before you buy a house. Before you get a mortgage, you have to have an inspection. And so I get the inspection done and I get the inspection report and it was like urgent, cracks in the paint. And so I called the inspector and I was like, hey, yeah, I saw them. We'll just paint over them. And he goes, well, you can paint over them, but they're going to come right back. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, the cracks are in the walls. So I was like, oh, okay. We'll just repatch the walls. You know, we'll just redo the walls. And he goes, you can do that, but those cracks are going to come right back. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? He goes, you don't have a paint problem. You don't have a wall problem. You have a foundation problem. And he says, your foundation is shifting. It doesn't matter how much paint or wall patching you do. If you don't fix the shifting foundation, those walls will continue to crack until they are compromised and they come crumbling down. Because how many of you know if you have a foundation problem, you have a serious problem? Needless to say, I did not buy that house. I took his advice. But today, as we dig into Matthew chapter 7, and as we start this series, and we all kind of admit, like, we got some foundation issues. Like, we all have some areas in our lives where maybe things aren't going the right way. Jesus has a lot to say about foundations in Matthew chapter 7. And as we jump into this, I would just ask you right off the bat to maybe pray a simple prayer like this. Watching online right here in the room. Hey, God, if there's some cracks in the house of my life, show me. Hey, God, if there's some shakiness in my foundation, show me. And maybe over the next 10, 20 minutes, he will. So we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 24. If you're ready, say yeah. Nice. That was good. Somebody had some soul in that. I appreciate it. I said, yeah. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. This is out of the English Standard Version. And it reads, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Pause some context real quick. Matthew chapter 7 is the end of the greatest sermon ever preached. There's this sermon, and it starts in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus stands on a hilltop, on a mountain, and he's preaching to multitudes, and he says things that nobody had ever said before. Things that are normalized today. Like, Jesus stood up to people and said, hey, when somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. Nobody had ever said that before. Nonviolent solutions. Show your strength and how much self-control you have. Massive. He said, hey, when somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go two. We hear that today all the time. Go the extra mile, blah, 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 blah. No one had ever said these things before. So for two chapters, Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, Jesus just stands on a mountaintop and he is unloading on him these groundbreaking, like humanity trajectory changing statements. And then in Matthew chapter 7, he's saying, in light of all that I just told you, he says, everyone then who hears these words, who actually heard what I said and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and a great was the fall of it. Right there in just a couple verses, Jesus gives us some profound principles to understand foundations and their importance in our lives. Now, the title of my message today, this will tell me how old you are if you get this, but the title of my message today is simple, Hammer Time.
Break it down.
Anybody remember that dance? All right, hold on, cut it off. I don't know. There's too much spandex in that video. I don't support. Early 90s, you either had parachute pants or spandex. You know what I'm talking about? And if you're in the room and you didn't know who that was, I feel old. But the title of my message today is Hammer Time. On the count of three, everybody say Hammer Time. One, two, three. Because today, some of us need to do some hammering. Here, Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 tells us there's two options when it comes to our lives. And he models for it with this metaphorical analogy. And he says, there's like two men that heard the words of me. And what I love about this story is the similarities of the two paths. The similarities of, you have two men. And the first thing we see here is they both have the same dream. Both of these guys that Jesus is talking about had the same dream. What was the dream? To build a house, right? They both said, we want to build a house. So then that begs the question, what's a house? What is he talking about here? Let's just ask the simple questions. Well, first and foremost, a house is
a house,
right? He's actually giving some great architectural advice. If you're going to actually build a building, you should build it on rock, on bedrock, on a firm foundation. But he's not just talking about a physical home. A house here can be our lives. He's saying, what are we building our lives on? Have we ever stopped and asked that? Like, we have a dream. Where do you want to see yourself when you're 25, when you're 35, when you're 50, when you're 70? Are we just trying to survive? Are we trying to thrive and leave a legacy for our kids and grandkids? Like, what kind of life are we building? And if we are building a life, what are we building it on? Have we stopped and asked, what is the foundation on which we are building? But a house isn't just a home, it's not just a life. I wrote it down here. A house can be your family. Like when you get married or where you're picking out a mate or a spouse, or maybe even some of us are married today, have we stopped and asked, what is our foundation as a couple? Kids, what do you understand what our foundation is as a family? No matter how crazy things get, do we have a fallback that we know no matter what happens in life, we know we're good on this. We know we stand on the same place here. This is why the Bible speaks a lot to couples. It says, don't be unequally yoked. It's this idea of if you're with somebody that doesn't believe what you believe, you actually have different foundations, and don't be surprised when things fall apart. There's a lot. That's a whole nother message in there. We ain't going to go this. The relationship series is coming up in a couple months. Y'all just get ready. But a house can be your life. A house can be your family. A house can be the church. The Bible often talks about the house of God, the temple, the church. Now, this is not the church. Let me just be clear. Like this, that woke some of you up. That was awesome to be like, right? Like this isn't the church. That's a wall, right? This is not the church. That's a stage. You and I, we are the church. Chairs, stages, walls, lights, these are all tools. But then it begs the question, what is the foundation of our church? There's a lot of churches that don't know what their foundation is, and things change and everybody leaves and we don't know. What I love about Overflow Church is Pastor Brian and Cindy laid a solid foundation, because even when there was transition and change, people knew where we stood as a church. It matters what we stand on, what our foundation. And a house cannot just be a life or a family or a church. House can be government too. House of Parliament, House of Congress, House of Senate, the White House. The Bible has a lot to say about government and the way it should be ran, the way our houses as our government should be ran. And just so we're saying that, and some of us are like, yeah, that president or that governor should get things in line. Can I just throw it out there? Can we be a network of churches, Water's Edge Network, and Overflow as a church? Can we be a church that takes responsibility for political outcomes? Because we can vote. You know, the governor and the president, we have say in that. What kind of house are we building when it comes to our governments? Like, this stuff is fun to preach because it gets quiet, right? Like, I wrote this down. You know, a house can be a nation. Like in the Old Testament, God would say the house of Israel, the house of Israel. It's as if today God looks at the nation and he says the house of America, the house of Jamaica, the house of Iran, the house of Spain. But then it begs the question, what are we building the house of America on? And do we take responsibility for it? Like, what if Overflow was a place, what if our churches and the Water's Edge Network was a place where we didn't just take responsibility for the house of our lives, and we didn't just take responsibility for the house of our family, and we didn't just take responsibility for the house of Benton Harbor, but we took responsibility for the state of our nation. And when I say that, some of us shrink back and go, whoa, that's big. But as soon as I say that, especially young people, some of you, it sends a shiver up your spine. Because from the time you can remember, maybe some of you even here, your 20s, 30s, and 40s, from the time you can remember, you've had dreams of what Michigan could look like, of what the U.S. could look like, of what the world could look like. And people will look at you and say you're crazy, but God has wired you that way for a reason. Because he has wired some people to take responsibility beyond themselves. And it begs the question, what are we standing on? What is our foundation? As a person, as a family, as a church, as a government, as a nation. And is it hammer time? Is it hammer time? Is it time to do some work on our foundations? So the thing we see here is both had the same dream to build a house. I wrote this down too. Both heard the same message. Both of these men had the same dream, and Jesus said to both of them, one heard my words and put them into practice. Another heard my words and didn't. But they both heard the words. You know what that means? We can come to the same church, hear the same sermons, sing the same songs, and go out and experience two entirely different outcomes. You know that, right? In other words, wisdom has little to do with information and education, and mostly to do with application. You can hear God's word. You can hear sound advice and good teaching all day long. But it's what we do with it that dictates whether or not we're living lives full of wisdom on a firm foundation. And that just baffles me. They both heard it. You ever come to church and you're like, man, why are they so successful in their life? And why is my life falling apart? Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, right? Like, Are we applying it? So they both had the same dream, build a house. They both heard the same teaching, the words of Jesus. And then I wrote this down. They both faced the same storm. Both the wise man and the fool faced the same storm. What does that tell us? Even if you're following God and doing what he tells you to do, doesn't mean you're not going to face hard times. I say it like this. The presence of a storm does not mean the absence of God. The presence of trouble in your life does not mean the absence of God. That is important for us to know. Like, read the Bible. Like, if anything, the presence of a storm, the more colossal the storm usually means the more significant the calling on your life. Like, God literally uses storms to reveal our foundations. Here, let me tell you something today, church. It's too late to work on your foundation when you're in a storm. It's too late. Like, that's a scary thought. I mean, I know we got like snowstorms up here, right? But I'm from Florida where we get storms like this. Like it says this storm blew the house down, flooding and blew the house down. You know what that is? That's a hurricane. And in the middle of a hurricane, it is too late to grab the hammer and go, let's get the concrete and shore up the foundation. Honey, it has done passed. You just got to hold on. Storms reveal our foundations. That's why 2020 was so important. The entire world was in a storm called COVID, called pandemic. And what did this last year do? It revealed a lot of our foundations. It just did. I mean, relationally, was it like crazy and hectic? And were people like, I mean, divorce rates were at an all-time high? Because what did we find out? Things got tough. The storm came and people realized we're on different foundations. Financially, some of us lost our shirts because 2020, now granted, some things were out of our control, but some things were in our control. And during a storm, it's too late to build the foundation. It only reveals it. And I love that both of these guys faced the same storm. I wrote it like, if I have any math people out here, I wrote an equation down to help us. If you hear the word plus do the word, you're wise. Right? Some of you are like, really? No, but hear this. Jesus says, there was a man, and he heard my word, and he did it, and he built his house on the rock. And he was wise. He stood. So here's the cool part about this equation. There's two variables. The first one is, are we hearing the word of God? Look at the person next to you and say, you're a genius. Tell them. Tell the person next to you, you're a genius. You're a genius. Why? Watching online right now. You're a genius. Why? Because you're doing half of it right. You're here. You're hearing the word of God. Well done. You're halfway to success. That's a big deal. Some people aren't even hearing it. Some people aren't even reading it. But today we have an opportunity every week in our small groups in G3. We have opportunities to hear the word of God. But hearing the word of God, you have to hear and do it. And if we hear the word of God and then we actually do it, the Bible says that is wisdom. But then if hear plus do equals wise, then hear minus do equals fool. Everybody say fool on the count of three. One, two, three. We don't say that word much anymore. It feels so harsh. But Jesus says it. He says, if you hear my words, if you read my words, and you walk out and don't do them, he looks you in the eye and says, you're a fool. Like, Jesus don't mix words. Everybody's like, oh, Jesus is so kind. He's like a teddy bear. You know, he like flipped over tables and beat grown men in the temple because they were extorting God's people. You know, he looked at his number one disciple, Peter, and said, get behind me, Satan, when he got in his way. And you know, he looks at us today and he says, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you're straight up a fool. That's just fun. It's just fun to be like, oh yeah, Jesus said this stuff too. I used to have a friend in college. Her name was Gayon, this Jamaican girl. I love Gayon to death. She was like a sister, but she just had this saying. Anytime somebody had invited her to a party and she knew it was going to go a bad direction, or anytime people were joking around and it was a little crude, she would always say, hey, Gayon, you got to go there? She'd be like, man, I ain't got time for that foolishness. I ain't got time for that foolishness. And I was always like, man, that's a little, That's a little like arrogant. And then I watched her life over 4 years in college just continue to go up and up and up. And I was like, wow, it's because she ain't got time for foolishness. She's going to just keep applying God's word. And here today, it's so obvious. Jesus says we have two options every day. Hear plus do equals wisdom. Hear minus do equals foolishness. And so it begs the question, why don't people build their lives on the rock? Why don't people build on a firm foundation? And I wrote it down this way. To build on the rock takes work. Why? Because to build on bedrock, you have to dig down. You have to dig down. If you've ever been to a big city like New York or Miami or something like that, you see the skyscrapers. You ever see when they're building skyscrapers, you can always tell how high the building's going to be by how far they dug the foundation down. And many of us want skyscraper lives, but we got chicken coop foundations. Many of us want to see God do like amazing miracles. We want, but we don't dig down. We don't do the work of digging down. Hey, this is just one of those fun messages today. Again, I'm the interim lead pastor, so I can say stuff. And if you don't like it, you'll be like, he'll be gone soon. So I can just kind of like give it to you like it is. Like, did you know, like, following Jesus takes work? Like, he actually said, go and make disciples. But what I think we do in modern day Christianity is we go and make converts. And converts are not disciples. Here's what I mean. Salvation, saying yes to Jesus, is a free gift. Jesus said, I came to lay my life down for you and raise from the grave. And all you have to do is believe that I rose from the grave for you. All you have to do is believe and you are saved. You are set up for eternity with God in heaven. You enter the family and kingdom of God. Salvation is free. Praise God. I'm excited about that. And so we go, yes, Jesus, salvation. But then after we say yes to Jesus, he looks at us and says, now follow me. And to follow Jesus means to think like he thinks, talk like he talks, and walk like he walks. It takes work. And he uses this word, disciple. The root word of disciple is discipline. And here's why I'm harping on this, because we have so many people, especially my generation, like millennials, Gen Z, like it's happened all through baby boomers. We're guilty of this too. But we go, yay, Jesus, I just want to punch my get out of hell free card. I'm good. We come and have a religious experience, a spiritual experience, and we say yes to Jesus. And then we go, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then we walk out of the doors, or we turn off Facebook or YouTube and church online. We walk out of the doors and we don't apply anything he says. And then we get mad at him when he doesn't protect us or his promises don't come to fruition in our lives. Let me be real. If you do not apply God's word, don't expect his protection. If you do not apply God's word, don't expect his provision. You get the free gift of salvation, but to take hold of God's favor and promises, you must hear the word and do it. You gotta dig down. Look at somebody and say, dig down. Dig down. To build our lives on the rock takes work. I remember early on in marriage counseling, like helping some different couples and stuff, and I got some great words of advice from another couple. But they said, in light of this topic, they said, you cannot plant seeds of relational sin for decades and expect the harvest of righteousness in your marriage. Many of us did our dating life in our teens and our 20s all wrong. And we planted seeds of sin for decades. And then we get married and we're going, God, I'm doing it your way now. But we planted seeds for decades of sin. We can't expect to reap a harvest of righteousness immediately. Why? We have to do some digging. We got to go dig up all those. We got to rework that foundation. We can't plant seeds of fiscal irresponsibility, of financially dumb decisions over and over and over again and expect to reap a harvest of generosity and righteousness in our lives. We can't expect God's promises without applying God's word. Here's another way I'd like to say it. Before God will elevate, we must excavate. Before God elevates us, we got to do some excavating. And excavation, thank you, my one woman sister back there, thank you. My excavation is hard work. That's why I love Jesus looks at us and says, hey, count the cost. Like, to follow me, there is blessing. Wisdom, your house will stand. Don't get it twisted. The end result is worth it. But today, some of you could just walk out right now because that's all the word you need. Today, it's hammer time. You know that area of your life where there's cracks in the walls because the foundation is not on God's word. And today you need to start digging down and do some excavating to get on the firm foundation that is God's word. In other words, you just need to study his word. Just study his word. I'm not saying go become a Bible scholar. I'm not saying you got to memorize the whole scripture. I'm just saying, do we study his word? And then when we study it, do we apply it? And there's just so many things you can read and go, oh, I'll do that. Like when it says, if you see someone hungry, feed him. That's not a metaphor. If you run across somebody that's hungry, feed them. And all of a sudden you'll realize, that's what generosity feels like. I'm living out the word of God. Oh my gosh, I'm standing on the rock. And watch how God brings stability in your life. So we don't build on the rock because it takes work, because we got to dig down. But then it begs the question, so why do people build on sand? Like, why would somebody build? Because if you read this story, it says there's two men, same dream, same teaching, and they both build houses. From the outside looking in, we're like, nice house, and nice house. And that's the way a lot of our lives look, right? Have you ever had your life just blowing up on the inside, and on the outside, everybody's like, y'all have it all together? You know what I'm talking about? Like, from the outside, some of our houses, some of our families and careers, everybody's like, look at them. Man, they're just doing it right. I just wish I had their marriage. Just wish I had their kids. Just wish I had their life. But on the inside, when the storms come, that's when we really know what we're standing on. And many of us have built areas of our lives, or maybe our entire lives, on a foundation of sand, on a foundation of the culture. Why do people build on sand? Because it's quick and cheap. It's quick and cheap. One man had to go out and survey, and then he had to find where there was bedrock. Then he had to dig down and secure his home to the rock. The other man said, that one looks good. Boom, built a house on the sand. It was quick and it was cheap. What kind of faith are we living? One that we're cultivating and working and growing in. It reminds me of that Sierra song, level up, level up, level up, level up. Like, did you know there's levels to this? Do you know there's levels to following Jesus? The Bible calls it maturity. The Christianese word is sanctification. We say yes to Jesus, we're newborn. We talked about this in the table talk. But in order to level up, in order to build the walls of our faith, we have got to dig down and get in God's word. But the Bible here says, like, some people just build it on sand. And sand will always leave you wanting. Building our lives on the principles of this world. And as I'm saying that, some of you are like, well, I believe some of the Bible. Like, I do what I know to do. Here's what a lot of us do. No, none of us overflow. Here's what people we know do. We mix the rock and sand. Some of us have a mixed foundation where we go, yeah, I got some of God's word, but I also got some of the world. Yeah. Like, I'm all about, like, missions and helping people. Yeah, Jesus is about feeding the poor. Very cool, very cool. But, oh, my finances? Nah, I do those the way the world tells me. Mixed foundation. It will fall. Oh, yeah. I'm all about, like, you know, going to church. Yeah, I love worship music. Yeah, I love singing. Oh, but relationship? Yeah, I mean, we just sleeping together before we're married. I'm just mixed foundation. Don't be surprised when the storms come if it feels shaky. The biggest indicator of a firm foundation is stability in a storm. You know you're standing on a firm foundation, not when things are easy, not when things are always comfortable, but even when the storm comes, you know where you stand. And y'all, many of us, as I'm saying this, like, we know those times in our life when things got hard and we were faced like, do I lie here or do I tell the truth? If I tell the truth, I'm gonna get in trouble. If I lie, I could get away with it. Well, which one, this is a storm, which one leads to wisdom? Which one leads to failing? Which one is the worldly pattern? Which one is the godly pattern? And in moments like that, you know where you stand. Integrity, truth, Bible. I'm gonna tell the truth. I'm gonna stand on God's word. Consequences come what may. Hey, the marriage is hard thing. It's not the way I thought it would look. Oh, I'm just going to hit the eject button. Oh, I'm not happy. I don't feel loved. It's all about how I feel and my preferences. And if I'm not getting what I need, I'm out. That's the world. That's sand. The Bible says, I'm married. I'm in a covenant, not just with you, but with God. And when I promise to God, I keep my promises. So come hell or high water, whether I like it or not, you're stuck with me. Because we married. Like, there's just a difference in the way you're wired and what you stand on. And the world can see it, especially when storms come. I love it. It's almost as if he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and posts them on Instagram shall be like a man who built. No, he doesn't say that, right? Because that's the extent of some of our faith. We hear the word. Now, there's nothing wrong. Please post it on Instagram. Tag at Overflow. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with social media. But if that's the extent of living out your faith, you're on sand. Yeah, y'all tracking with me there? Are we applying the word of God? Is it hammer time? Are we getting it out and doing the work? And Joel, you guys, the worship team can come on back up whenever you're ready. We're going to wrap it up here. We're going to sing one more song. But as we kick off this series, and as we're doing some work around Overflow, and again, work clothes next week. Don't forget, it's going to be fun. Demo day. By the way, the message next week, demo day. I got one for you. It's going to be fun. Talk about some deconstruction in our lives. Woo-hoo. Here we go. Some of you are like, I may miss that. Don't miss it. If I see you here and I don't see you next week, I'm coming to your house. No, I'm not. I have no idea where most of you live. But it reminded me as we're doing this, a few years ago, I was a part of a church building project and we finished. And like here in Michigan, like all over the world, electricity is expensive. And what we noticed is people were leaving the lights on in the auditorium and in the offices. And so we quickly made a change in our building plans and we installed motion detecting lights. Okay, some of you are like, yeah, we get it. But here's the deal. Well, a motion detector light, super simple. The way it works is lights are off when there's no one in the room. And as soon as someone walks in the room and there's motion, the light comes on. You got it? Okay. Just making sure you're following me. Here's why I say that. I think that's the way God's promises and favor works in our lives. The light of God's promises and the light of God's favor and the light of God's provision and protection is there waiting to come on. But it takes movement. It takes motion. We can't just hear the word. We have to do the word. We have to apply the word. We have to dig down. We have to hammer the word into our lives, into our souls, and live it out. And when we move on God's promises, when we move on God's word, when we actually apply it, the light of his love, peace, and joy comes on in our lives. But don't expect God's light when there's no movement or motion. Where in our lives? Today, here's where I'll leave us. I had a mentor tell me one time, a good preacher will tell you what you need to know. But a great preacher will tell you what you need to know and what you need to do. Now, I don't think I'm a great preacher, but that's something that stuck with me for a long time. Because I think a lot of times we hear the word of God. And we're like, yeah, Leviticus chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we memorize it and we walk out and we go, I have no idea how this makes me a better dad. Or like, we walk out, we're like, I don't know what this means for my life. Let me tell you what this means today. What you need to know is that we want to live lives full of wisdom. And we want to build lives, churches, and families, and a country that can stand the test of time. In order to build a firm foundation and stand on the rock, we have to apply God's word. So here's what we do today. Some of us need to do some excavating. While we sing this last song, here's what you do. David wrote in the Psalms this great prayer. He said, search me, O God. Search my heart. You need to hire a spiritual surveillance team. You need a survey done on your spiritual home. Right now, just ask, Holy Spirit, hey, God, show me where there's cracks in my walls. Show me where my foundation is shaky. Some of us need to do some excavating. And then when God points it out, we need to go, God, what does your word say about that? And we need to, here's the deal. You're like, how do I find what his word says? I'm not a pastor. Google, like just Google it. It's an amazing tool. What does the Bible say about blank? And then if you can't find the answer, call me, call Chad, call Joel, call Abby. We're here for you. Some of us need to do some excavating today, okay? Some of us maybe are doing our best, but we need to get to know more of God's word. We need to step out in obedience in a new way. If you haven't been through G3, you need to sign up for G3. That's like our church membership course. That's where you learn about the foundations of your faith and the foundations of this church and what God's doing. Some of us need to sign up for a small group. We need to get in community and get some people helping build this home. Some of us need to sign up to serve. We need to actually start helping build the church. My point is, today we're either digging down or we're stepping up and building that foundation on the rock, firm ground of God's word. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. And we thank you that it does make for a firm foundation in our lives. And God, right now, I'm just praying over everyone under the sound of my voice here in person at Overflow or watching online. As we kick off this series, God, I really, really pray that you'll help us evaluate our foundations. And God, I just pray, like just straight up, God, I pray a blessing over everyone here. God, that you would give us the supernatural ability to find where our foundations are on sand. And God, that you would give us the strength and discipline and courage to dig down and find the rock of your word and start applying your word. God, I pray over all the young people, all those people, 9, 10, 11, 12, in their teenage years, in their earlier 20s. God, I pray that you would help them build a solid foundation on you and your word before the big storms of this life come. God, I pray for all of us that as these storms are revealing our foundations, God, that you will help us shore them up. And God, that it really would be hammer time, God, that we would chisel away what we don't need and we would find your truth and we would stand on it. And God, I thank you that that truth is firm. And God, I just pray that you would give us courage in that you would give us conviction on that, and that you would help us with it. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. And it is upon the rock that is your word, we build our foundations. In Jesus' name we worship, amen.